Utes, Anuradha Bhagwati, Megan Whitney, Mike DeFilippo, Nick Marsilio, Miguel Nagera are our engineers. Also special thanks to Angela Alston, Uri Galed, Rebecca Silver, John Randolph, Kieran Krug-Meadows, Jerome Bourgeois, Tori Townsend, Samantha Chamblee. We have an immediate opening for a TV director to take leadership role in this nation's fastest growing independent news program. Send your resume to job@democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB, Stony Brook, New York, where the time is precisely 6 o'clock, and that means it's time for Off the Wall. Wow, can anything be more annoying than hearing your own voice echoing back? That's what I'm dealing with right now. Apparently, there's some kind of malfunction in the studio that that makes my voice come out of the speakers, even though the speakers should be turned off. I can't seem to figure out how to fix this, so I'm going to somehow have to deal with it. And since I'm in delay, that means I hear my voice 7 seconds later. So it's really kind of distracting. That's, I guess, the test that we all have to go through is various distractions in life. See if we can survive. Oh, well. It's certainly surprising outside. In fact, on the way over, actually watching television, I saw a new terminology for the weather. Ass-bitingly cold. Yeah, that's what they're saying on the television set now. It's that cold outside. It really is. It's single digits. Or thereabouts, teens, single digits. And I guess one last gasp of winter. We didn't really get much snow this year. No real dramatic weather, but we're going to get one last blast of cold. Unless there's something else planned in the future. But it kind of it's kind of disappointing to me because I'm heading to someplace that's going to be warmer. In fact, I'm heading to Texas, Austin, Texas, where the South by Southwest Conference takes place for the next few weeks. And that's something I've never experienced before. Basically, all these people getting together talking about technology and music and movies and all sorts of other things. And Austin's a fairly nice place. I can tolerate it for a few days, so seems like a kind of a nice break. It means that next week we'll be on the air, but we won't be on the air live. And right now we're live. Right now it's most definitely 6:03 p.m., on Tuesday evening, March, whatever this is, 5th, is it? 6th? I don't know. It's one of those days, 2007. So if you want to call us, tonight's your chance to call us, 631-632-9872. And spout forth with whatever is on your mind. And all sorts of things are on my mind. It's going to be interesting because it's so cold here, but it's so warm there. It's like, you know, in the 70s. And it'd be kind of stupid to bring a winter jacket down there, wouldn't it? So I'm going to do what many people think would be a silly thing, and that's arrive at the airport here in New York without a winter jacket when it's something like 10 degrees outside. I'm assuming automobiles won't break down. I'm assuming the electricity will remain flowing to the airport so that heat will be provided. And hopefully that'll pay off. And it'll save me quite a bit because what do you do with a big overcoat on an airplane? You know, you have to stow it someplace. And then when you get out, you have to put it back on. And, you know, you're in Texas and you don't want to be wearing an overcoat when it's 70 degrees outside. So I figure best to make it a little bit inconvenient at the beginning, and I guess at the end when I come back. Although by then it'll probably be midsummer by here, by as far as the temperature goes. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun. Now, it's kind of strange. I'd like to know if anybody out there in that area or has gone to this conference before, if there's some experiences they can share or advice they can lend. And, of course, also any of our listeners down there who would like to meet up or something, otw@2600.com if you're in North tonight. Love to hear from you. But I'd like to know just what to expect from this thing, because I've never actually been to this this particular event before, and I've heard all sorts of things about it. My good friend Phil is giving the keynote, Phil from Make Magazine. You've heard him on Off the Hook a few times, and he's in Freedom Downtime. He's giving the keynote address on Friday, and that's really the main reason I'm going down there to witness that spectacle. I didn't make it sound so good, did I? No, to witness that it's going to be a good spectacle, not going to be a catastrophe. It's going to be interesting. Also just get a feel for the rest of it. Although, I have to say, just trying to get involved in this, I realize, and I don't want to make this sound like a bad thing, but man, what an incredible ripoff this thing is. Did I sugarcoat it enough? It's everything is just so damn expensive. If you go to their website, sxsw.com, get it, South by Southwest, you'll see that there's all sorts of ways you can go to the various events, but all the ways that they mention involve buying tickets to the whole damn thing at once. And you can't even do that properly, because if you buy tickets to all of the entire conference, that doesn't get you into any of the movies, that doesn't get you into any of the music. And all that is going on at the same time. Of course, it's physically impossible for somebody to go to everything, or even to try to go to more than a few things. So, if you want basically the kind of access that allows you to just go and see whatever you want to see, you're going to spend several grand on all the passes that you'll have to get. And nowhere on the site does it say, well, what if I just want to go to, a handful of events? Can I just wait online and get in that way and, you know, pay a few bucks? Not mentioned, because that kind of person is not where the money is made. So I guess, you know, I just sort of have to figure all this out on my own. But I kind of take pride in the way I work this out, because every single aspect of this trip involves potentially spending a huge amount of money. And I think there's a lesson to be learned there in how you can travel around the world and take part in all sorts of adventures and not necessarily lose your shirt in the process. So first, airfare, well, okay, you know, you could spend thousands of bucks on airfare if you really wanted to. Try this sometime. Try to book the most expensive fare possible between two points. And you'll find it's very easy to do. It's very easy to do. You can put yourself in business class. You can put yourself in first class. And I know many people who will refuse to travel in anything less. And the reason for that is because they made the dumb mistake once of upgrading themselves and traveling with, you know, the rich people who get served champagne and get to, I don't know, what do they do up there? Sit in porcelain seats? I honestly don't know. But whatever it is, they never want to come back to the cattle car in the back of the airplane and hang out with all us commoners. Well, if you can avoid falling into that pitfall, you can still book yourself a decent fare that might involve, you know, flying around the country a little bit. But I got to say, if you book that first class ticket, I saw one once where I wanted to see how expensive it could possibly be to get from New York to Los Angeles. First class, and I think I got it up to about $7,000. But it involved going to Minneapolis and then getting on a flight to Atlanta, again on a flight from Atlanta to I think San Diego, and then up to Los Angeles. It was ridiculous. they don't care. They'll just ping pong you all over the place. So yeah, you know, sometimes you don't get a direct flight on the lower fares, but if you can get a round trip to Austin, Texas for about $200, you've made out pretty well. You really have. All right, so I took pride in that. I took great pride in that. Then I like to have a car when I arrive in these places because, well, it's not all like New York City. There's no subways, no buses to speak of. So a rental car, well, I was able to find a good deal for like practically $50 for a week, unlimited. I mean, that's not bad. It's more than that, but it's less than 100. So it's actually quite good. And I could have spent thousands of dollars on that, too, and people do. They want to drive in style. I'll probably be driving an old VW Bug or something. That's fine. That's okay. It's not about how you look or what you flash. It's about how much fun you have. And then finally, finding a place to stay. Well, everybody wants to stay in a nice hotel. Everybody wants to stay with everybody else, you know, all the people to be seen in these events. And that's hugely expensive. Hugely expensive. We're talking more expensive than New York City hotels, because this event comes once a year and everybody wants to be in the thick of it. Well, what if you don't want to be in the thick of it so much? What if you're kind of antisocial? What if you don't mind spending time, say, in a motel instead of a hotel? Well, guess what? You've just saved such a huge amount of money that you've got enough left over to buy all those passes if you really wanted to. And the worst thing that can happen, if you get a hotel that's really, really nice, okay, in the middle of the city, and you're spending this huge amount of money every night to be there, the worst thing that can happen is if you start having fun at the conference and you don't get to go to your hotel room because it's sitting there empty while you're out carousing and you're wasting all this money. Whereas if you have this hole in the wall a couple of miles out of town, all right, with tumbleweeds and all sorts of things going on, You can stay out until the roosters start crowing because, you know what, you're not really losing anything. You're not really losing anything. I'd sleep in my car if I could. Well, I guess I could, but there's no real reason to. So the thing is, you can have fun, and you don't have to spend a huge amount of money, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do. And I don't want to give the impression that I'm cheap because, you know, I like spending money as much as the next person. It's just I like getting something and feeling like I'm getting something that's worthwhile. Of course, most other people probably wouldn't think whatever I spent money on is worthwhile. The point is to have fun. And you can't really have fun when you're spending huge amounts of money on things that you can get for so much less and not really know the difference. So, okay, Austin, Texas next week. I'll actually probably be back next week, but not back in time for the show. So you'll hear something from the streets of Austin or middle of the desert or on airplane, God knows what. You'll hear something next week. And I believe the week after that, I'm also going to be someplace else. It's going to be someplace local. But I probably won't be here for the show, so that means probably another recorded show in 2 weeks. So if you want to call, tonight is your night. And we'll start taking calls, I guess, around the half-hour mark. 631-632-9872. 631-632-WUSB. Write the number down and give us a call. Something weird happened on the way over. Something weird always happens on the way over here. But basically, I guess I have a routine where I drive down the same roads. Who doesn't? All right. And Tuesday afternoons finds me driving westbound on a road we call 25A. Wonderful road if you're from some other part of the world. Come and visit it. It's really nice. And right around, I guess, 5:30-ish or so, I find myself making a left turn onto Nichols Road, the road that is adjacent to the university campus. And today, as I made that left turn, I saw an 18-wheel truck coming in the opposing lane, heading towards me. Now, I had the arrow, so he was rightfully stopped. What was interesting about this is that that was the postal 18-wheeler. Now, the Isetawket Post Office is just further back from where I had just come from. And every day at 6 o'clock, a big 18-wheel truck shows up to pick up all the mail that's been dropped off there. And that's a pretty set schedule. Every day at 6 o'clock, that 18-wheeler goes up the hill to that post office. Well, here's the thing. this week, this show, when I was driving to this show at about 5:30, making that left-hand turn, seeing that 18-wheeler on its way to the post office, do you know that was the third week in a row this has happened? The third week in a row where I was making that left turn at that particular time, and that same 18-wheel truck was there in the oncoming lane, waiting at the red light that I had caused by making my left turn. And I'm wondering to myself, have I become this predictable, where I'm in the same place at the exact same time every week, and I'm starting to see the same people who just happen to pass by in that one fleeting moment? And my God, how pathetic is that? I remember there was this photo project, and some of these are really fascinating, but somebody set up a camera on a particular intersection in New York City, and every morning at, I think, 8:30 or something, he'd snap a picture. Every morning, winter, summer, fall, spring, for years and years and years. And then, after a number of years had passed by, looking at these pictures, you see the same people, because they're all going to work. And they're going down the same street every day at the same time. You see them getting older. You see their entire lives being played out. Because that's what they do. They do the same thing every single day. And I thought it was intriguing that, wow, this is how it is. This is how predictable, how it's all the same day after day after day. And ask yourself, are you in the same place every day at the same time? I mean, I have to be here every Tuesday evening. That's a given. That's just how it works. But I don't have to be on the same street on the way over here at the same time every day. I mean, every week or whatever. Predictability is something you can really fall into pretty easily, even if you're trying not to. So ask yourself. Maybe do an occasional random check to see where you are at a particular time and see if you're actually doing the same thing. You might be frightened by the results. Okay, I saw the bulletin on the way over on the CNN website. This is great. This is breaking news. Breaking news. Vice President Cheney is disappointed and saddened by the guilty verdict in the perjury trial of his former chief of staff, Louis Scooter Libby. Yes, he's disappointed. Well, that is earth-shattering news, to be sure. But let me add to that a little bit by saying that I, too, am also disappointed. I'm disappointed that this is it. This is the trial that we get. The whole thing, the CIA leak scandal, it doesn't enter into this case. This case is about somebody who basically lied to a grand jury to help cover up a conspiracy. That's what he was on trial for. Not for the leak itself, not for the thing that implicates everybody from Karl Rove to Dick Cheney himself. Now, that we're not going to address. We're going to address, this guy lied. This guy didn't tell the truth when he was asked about that particular scandal, which we're now going to brush under the rug. I find it incredible because if you watch the trial, it was said a number of times that, Karl Rove was the person who was telling this information to people, leaking the identity of a CIA operative, because the administration disagreed with the stance that her husband had taken on the Iraq War. That kind of thing, all right, well, we're not going to pay attention to that. We're going to go after the guy who we have an easy case against because he said something that was untrue. So, yeah, I'm pretty disappointed, too. I'm disappointed that we're not actually pursuing this as actively as we possibly can. Instead, we're just continuing to focus on the easy cases. Like, for instance, this Walter Reed scandal that's taking place in a veterans hospital. Terrible conditions, to be sure. But something very easy to focus on. You know, you look in the window, you see the rats running around or whatever is going on in that place. And you know this is wrong. And this is right here on our home turf, so it's very easy to say, somebody screwed up big time, and someone has to pay. And these are the guys that we sent over there, and they got maimed, and they came back, and they're not even being taken care of properly. Very easy to focus on. A lot harder to focus on the fact that, hey, maybe those guys should never have been sent over there in the first place. And maybe the whole operation founded on lies is the true crime here. And this is just an extension of it. Maybe that's what we should be focusing on. We never seem to. A good example John McCain announced his candidacy. What did he do it on the David Letterman show or something? What a country. He announces his campaign for the office of president in 2008, and boy, what a circus this is going to be. And somewhere along the line, either on that program or later on, he described the lives of all those who have been killed in Iraq as being wasted. As being wasted. And this is the same thing that that Barack Obama had to apologize for a couple of weeks earlier by saying that lives were wasted. I honestly did not know what the big deal was, because it sure seems that way to me. And, yeah, McCain said basically the same thing. And do you know who was demanding an apology? Who was demanding an apology for daring to say that human lives are being wasted in Iraq? The Democratic National Committee demanded an apology for that. I mean, who is out Republicaning, if that's a word, each other here? It's just, it's incredible to me that we're just so afraid of saying something that might be a little bit too critical. How is it even debatable that if you send people over to fight in a meaningless war, no matter how heroic they are, no matter how true their intentions, you are not only wasting their time, you're wasting their lives, you're wasting the lives of their families who are basically struggling with this for the rest of their lives. Everybody who is stuck in that Walter Reed cesspool, their lives are being wasted too. It's meaningless, it's pointless, it's criminal. And until somebody actually stands up and starts saying things like that, we're not going to see any changes. It's going to stay exactly the same. People are too afraid to actually suggest that it's a mistake to send people over to a place, and if they get killed, they're getting killed for nothing. Until people say that, there's just not enough of a strong reaction against what's going on, and that's just sad. We need something better. We need something that is a bit stronger. And it's like we don't really want to. It's awfully weird. And I think a lot of us just think we don't have the power. Someone else is going to do it. And unfortunately, that never seems to happen. Now, just in contrast, I saw this documentary last night on a channel I've never watched before, the National Geographic Channel. Okay, it's got that little gold rectangle on the bottom. And I guess, yeah, why not? There's a Hallmark channel. Why can't there be a National Geographic channel? Seems to be there's a channel for everything, and they all seem to be the same. They all seem to be the same. You notice that? Every TV station is the same. It's like they're geared towards the same middle-class family. They speak in the same tone. They give you the same stupid features that nobody likes. For instance, you ever look at the bottom of your screen on a television set lately? There's more activity there than is going on some team's playing field that happens to suck. All right? Not up on what the bad teams are these days, but there's more activity going on the bottom of your TV screen than there should be. There's all kinds of jumping animation and three-dimensional bugs going on. And the bugs are the things that sometimes can be useful, but, you know, I question their intent. And they tell you what channel you're watching. And if that was really their intent, they would keep them on during the commercials, but they don't. They take them off during the commercials because advertisers demand a full screen. We used to have full screens. We used to be able to see an entire program without all this nonsense at the bottom telling you, you're watching this program now. Oh, really? Is that what I'm doing? And what am I watching it on? A toaster? A microwave oven? Oh, it's a television set. Why did you tell me that? I think you might know what program you're watching if you're turning it on. And if not, you'll figure it out fairly soon. It's not too difficult. Then you have to know what's up next. Then you have to see literally an advertisement for something else coming up next week that involves animated characters running around and basically just getting in the way of the program. How many times have you been trying to see something on the screen and some idiot has put some graphic up that blocks it? Happens a lot on the news channels where they have scrolling text and it blocks other text that is relevant to the story. So you have that. You have these huge identity bugs that sometimes aren't transparent, and they block the picture or they take up a quarter of the screen. You have the stupid TV 14 or TVMA categories, TVG, that show up not only at the beginning of the program now, it seems to show up after every commercial break, and they keep getting bigger and bigger. Case in point, watch the Brady Bunch. You can't even see Marcia Brady anymore because that's where they put the big black square. And she's only on there for a limited amount of time, and they always put it there when she's showing up. I don't really watch the Brady Bunch, but, you know, I saw that once, and it impressed me, the injustice. So, yeah, all these things happen. Every TV station is the same. They all have the same stupidity that nobody likes. They all have more and more commercials every hour. And they all have these stupid paid announcement things late at night. Remember, you used to see old movies or repeats of old TV shows that weren't half bad? Now you see some idiot telling you how you can make money by sending him money. And that's really the reason. That's how you make money, is by going on the air and getting other idiots to send you money. That's the secret. That's all you need to know. I don't know anybody who watches these marathons that go on all night long on every channel that show you this garbage, unless they're making fun of them. I don't know anybody who does that. Yet they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Every station is like this. Every station has the same stupid features, and it seems like there's nothing we can do about it. What are the exceptions? There really aren't any. Except for, you know, public broadcasting, but that's pretty much crippled anyway. Okay, so anyway, I was watching the National Geographic Channel, first time ever, and they had a documentary on North Korea, which I was interested in. I always am interested in seeing what such programs are like, see if there's any new information given out. And basically, this was a story about a doctor who had traveled, I believe, from Nepal, to remove cataracts from a bunch of North Korean patients. And his goal was to do 1,000 of these things in a very limited amount of time, I think in 10 days. Apparently it doesn't take very long to remove a cataract, so he was able to zip through these things pretty fast. But they were able to get a camera in and film various things, and I guess kind of sneak information out of the country. And I thought that was fascinating. I thought that was very interesting that they were doing that. And as most curious people, very interested in seeing just what their society looks like. But it kept falling back onto the same worn-out, jingoistic phrasing of, well, this is a dictatorship. All the people were starving because of the policies of the dictatorship. It's like they're required to say these things. And, yeah, you know, it's a weird place. There's no question about that. But when all of the information that you're reading about their alleged prison camps and what happens to people who criticize the regime, it's all based on the same people coming over the border saying the same things and nothing else. I'm filled with all this concern that we're going down the same road that we went down with Iraq, where we're believing a certain number of people who have a vested interest in spreading information. Now, this. Not for a second am I suggesting that these things aren't happening. But I would just like something new, something not just the same repeating phrases. I'd like to see, you know, real pictures. Hear real stories. And it just seems too incredible, some of the things that are being said constantly. And while there were some bits of information in this hour-long program that were good, that were interesting, there was just too much of what we've heard so many times before. It's like it's pounding into our heads that these people are programmed and they're like robots and they don't dare speak out against the regime, and this is what happens to them if they do. Do you know, if one person, and this is the kind of thing that makes me really wonder, one person criticizes the regime in any way by saying, oh, I feel a bit hungrier than I should, or something like that, then their entire extended family, mother, father, sister, brother, sons, daughters, grandparents, second cousins, everybody's rounded up and brought to this prison camp where they spend the rest of their lives. Oh my God, that sounds horrible, but it also sounds really ridiculous, doesn't it? to just suddenly send all these people to this place because one person said one thing. Is that really what happens every single time? And what exactly is the evidence that shows this? Somebody saying this coming over the border? Okay, you know, we can believe that maybe. Sometimes people don't always tell the truth. Maybe it's part of some kind of propaganda campaign perpetrated by the North Koreans themselves to get us to think of them as even weirder than they are. The point is, if we just blindly repeat what we're told without actually looking into it and finding the actual first-hand evidence, which, don't tell me we're not capable of doing this. We have all sorts of spy planes and surveillance techniques that can show license plates, so they can certainly show what's going on in prison camps and various other places. We know a lot more about these things, these goings-on. And then, after that, there was another program on that followed about the killing squads of Saddam Hussein. I'm like, okay, you know, this is interesting. I've seen this all before, too. Saddam Hussein was a bad person. We all know that. And I realized, you know, this channel is just focusing on alleged evil foreigners and why we should be afraid of them. And I was looking, okay, is there anything here that shows maybe some history of U.S. aggression in the world and some failed foreign policy and all sorts of things that we could be criticized for? The only things I was able to find on the National Geographic Channel concerning the United States was a history of the White House and nature programs about nature in the United States. And it just, it really rubbed me the wrong way. Okay, you know, it's great to go out there and focus on other countries and show all their evil points, but if you're going to turn a blind eye to all that's wrong with us, how is that any different? How is that any different than just pure propaganda? At least the people in these countries know that they're living in an evil place. Not an evil place so much as a place where you can't criticize, where you can't speak out, where you don't have certain freedoms. They know that. They know that. We, on the other hand, are convinced that we have all the freedom we could possibly want and more. And yet somehow, we have no desire for it. And I think that's a very dangerous way to live. And then I turned over to CNN. You know, I wanted to get away from the propaganda, because it was propaganda. Whether it's correct or incorrect, you're seeing one side of something, you're not seeing another side. People are being portrayed in a certain way. I mean, that program about Iraq talked about the invasion in 2003 with not one word of criticism about how this was wrong, basically about how Saddam Hussein did not answer George W. Bush's repeated request to do certain things, and as a result, the invasion happened, and that's how it's portrayed. That's how it took place. Nobody protested against it. Everybody was behind it. So I turned over to CNN thinking maybe I'd get some news. Do you know what they're doing on CNN? They're having a profile of a tank. They're focusing on a military tank, like it's some kind of person. This tank was first used in this particular endeavor. It wasn't just a passing reference. They were focusing on the tank. And then after that, focusing on more heroes of the Iraq War. And all these people who left their loved ones to go defend our country. And nonsense like that. They even had this sympathetic piece about the family of a soldier who had been charged with murdering civilians. Yeah, they were back in his hometown talking to his wife and family and friends about what a nice guy he was and how this was all unfair. So how are we any different? This is the kind of nonsense that passes for documentaries and news and supposedly well-rounded discussion. Not very convincing to me. All right. Let's look at what else is going on in the world. 631-632-9872, by the way, is our phone number. Anytime people want to give a call in, feel free. See a few calls on the line. We'll jump over there. 631-632-WUSB. Here's something that could have been a whole lot worse. Do you know there was an accidental invasion of one country from another country? This just happened. This just happened a couple of days ago. What began as a routine training exercise almost ended in an embarrassing diplomatic incident after a company of Swiss soldiers got lost at night and marched into neighboring Liechtenstein. Oh, boy. Yeah, according to the Swiss daily Blick, the 170 infantry soldiers wandered just over a mile across an unmarked border into the tiny principality early Thursday before realizing their mistake and turning back. Wouldn't it have been nice if we did the same thing when we marched into Iraq? Whoops, we're not supposed to be here. Let's go back. A spokesman for the Swiss Army confirmed the story but said there were unlikely to be any serious repercussions for the mistaken invasion. We've spoken to the authorities in Liechtenstein, and it's not a problem, said Daniel Reist. Officials in Liechtenstein also played down the incident. Interior Ministry spokesman Marcus Amann said nobody in Liechtenstein had even noticed the soldiers who were carrying assault rifles but no ammunition. It's not like they stormed over here with attack helicopters or something, he said. Liechtenstein has about 34,000 inhabitants. It's slightly smaller than Washington, D.C., and they don't have an army. It's looking pretty nice, isn't it? All right. We got a bunch of phone calls. Let's see who's out there on the airwaves. 631-632-9872. Oh, what a nice hum we have. Isn't that something? Well, can I get rid of that? Okay, we're going to get rid of that and go over here. Let's see who's there. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
I'm calling. I sent you a couple emails about gun control. I was the one you read a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And I like the show. First time calling.
Where are you calling
I
from?
I really like what you said about the television today.
Uh-huh.
Very difficult to watch it. I was watching it at a friend's house.
Yeah.
And anytime you watch any cable channel after 10 o'clock, it's practically insane. Pretty much every other commercial they give you is Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah, you know, and I've got my Canadian dish, and I have to say, over the past few years, Canadian TV channels have followed suit. They used to be all sorts of interesting programming, and sometimes, God forbid this ever happens here, sometimes late at night they sign off the air, and there's that just a nice little test pattern there. I prefer a test pattern to the nonsense that's on in the overnight periods on just about every station now.
Absolutely agree with you. I think that's part of the reason why people have trouble sleeping today. They just see stuff moving on television, not very intelligent, and just catches their attention and they're stuck.
Uh-huh. Now, I honestly can't think of a single station that's a commercial station that does not do this, and everybody does not like it. It's like they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care at all.
Yeah, well, I think that's a big problem in our country nowadays. Nowadays, people just not caring.
Well, I'm talking about the TV networks in this case. They're not caring. But, yeah, people, I guess they just lie down and take it. And that's not right either. Where are you calling from, by the way?
I'm calling from Orlando, Florida.
Okay, cool. Well, all right. Thanks so much for your call. Any other thoughts you have in your mind?
Okay, thanks.
All right, I guess not. Let's take another phone call. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi, Emmanuel. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm Chris. Going to Northern States, so from Orlando, Florida, to right in your own backyard.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I'm on Northern State, driving towards New York, so I'm right in your own backyard.
Okay, so you're actually in a car, and you're heading west on Northern State.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I love the show, and listened for a long time, you know, being around Stony Brook.
Uh-huh.
I love the news crawl, and I wanted to know, actually, what percentage of your viewing time, I mean, I get a lot of news off the web, but what percentage of your viewing time is Fox News, just to know what they're up to?
You know, I only go by there occasionally. I tend to keep either BBC or CNN or Euronews on just to find out what's going on. I don't focus on the personalities, and I think that's what American TV has become. If you ever look at CNN or Fox News, it's not the news program that's the title. It's the name of the person giving you the news. It's Wolf Blitzer. It's Anderson Cooper, whoever it is that happens to be bringing you the news, they're the focus. And I just think that's the wrong way to put out news. So I just like to have the news on in the background, and if something happens, I look up and see what's going on. But I don't really pay attention to what it is that I'm watching.
Yeah, I don't have the opportunity to see enough BBC. Mm-hmm. CNN, I think, has gone more to a sheepish direction over the last couple of years.
Well, you're actually very lucky because you live on Long Island?
Pardon me?
You live on Long Island, I assume.
Yeah, I live in Manhattan.
You live in Manhattan. Okay, well, if you lived on Long Island, you'd have Cablevision. And I got to say, I can't say enough good things about Cablevision in this particular department, because what they do is they provide international news that nobody else does. They have BBC World, they have Euronews, and anybody who's a digital customer of Cablevision can get this. I think it's Channel 103 and Channel 104.
Oh, nice.
And this is what I've been fighting for years, is to get these kind of channels into this country, and it's great that they actually are doing it.
Yeah, it's just fun to see the editorial content on Fox. Either a reporter will say, you know, off the record, this reporter's opinion is we should be more worried about Sandy Berger than Louis Libby. And you're like, oh, great approach to telling the people what's going on.
See, the thing is, everybody says Fox News is the conservative one. I don't see very much difference between them and CNN. Every time I turn on CNN, I wince at what they're saying.
Yeah. It's incredible. And the real news that you should really be learning about is what's going on the crawl. Who's, you know, 6 British troops killed in, you know, mm-hmm. Boy, they're talking about Anna Nicole or, you know, what size pumpkins are they going to have at Thanksgiving.
You know, there used to be a program that came from Canada called The National. It's their daily news program on CBC. And it used to be on a station called News World International, which now is called Current TV. It was taken over by Al Gore and friends. And the first thing they did was get rid of that. No more Canadian news. It just would be nice if somebody offered that particular perspective of the news that does not come from a U.S.-based broadcaster. And, you know, PBS would be ideal for this. It's a once-a-day program. And we don't get to see it anymore. So we see less international news in the mainstream than we did, say, 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's you, and then, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just...
The hardcore real deal to try to understand what they actually have.
Yeah, I'm just ranting and raving here and out of frustration mostly, but
right.
I don't know. I just hope more people take an interest and see things out.
You can't write this stuff. It'll be presidential pardon for Scooter Libby. Oh, well, he's like one of the guys.
Oh, you know that's going to happen. You know that's going to happen. This thing will drag out for another year, and when does he give the pardons? At the end of his term, 2008, so that's when he's going to get pardoned, and the rest of the people are never even going to see the inside of a courtroom.
Right, yeah.
I mean, how pathetic is that? You know, these people should be behind bars now, as far as I'm concerned, and not just for leaking the names of a CIA operative, for getting us into this mess, for tearing down our reputation, for spending all of the money that we're ever going to have, and for neglecting this country, making things like Katrina possible, making our infrastructure fall apart. They should be held accountable for this. But, you know, as long as we have our game shows and sports, I think it's we don't care. It's okay with us.
Yeah, right.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call.
Take care.
You know, it's interesting. Watching that whole North Korean documentary, this is an example of just how silly it was. There came a period where everybody got to take off their masks over their eyes, the people who had the operations, to see if it was successful and to see if they could see once more. And we only saw the ones, obviously, where it was successful. So I assume most people it was successful. And the people who took off their masks, without exception, this was the whole point, without exception, they got down on their knees and they gave thanks to the dear leader, Kim Jong-il, and to the North Korean government for making this possible. And it was like they were possessed. This is how it was presented. These people were programmed to simply give thanks to someone who had nothing to do with it. They didn't thank the doctor. They thanked the leader of the country. They said, I'm so happy that I can now see your face again. And the way it was presented just made them seem like a bunch of maniacs. But why was the parallel never drawn between that and a good old Baptist revival or some other religious group in the United States where basically people are speaking in tongues and falling over backwards and thanking God for everything and turning a blind eye for all the bad things that God causes if you believe that God does anything? Every time somebody hits a baseball over a fence, they're going to say, oh, Jesus is watching out for me. I want to thank God personally for helping me win that ball game. And, we're going to go on and with God's help. And you have to wonder, does that mean that God is against the other guy? They're against the other team? God is sitting there rooting for one side over another? It's always God. You make a hole in one in a golf course, which, by the way, the leader of Korea did 11 times the first time he ever played. That's just a fact. every time we praise God, we being a good number of the American people, and we do it with the same kind of fervor. So it's religion. It's the craziness of religion. It's not that unusual. It's unusual in a communist state. It's unusual for a leader of a country to evoke that kind of wild passion amongst his people. But it's nothing unusual to us. We've seen it all before. We've fought wars in the name of God. We thank God for all sorts of things, possible and impossible. We pray to God for everything. And no matter what happens, no matter what natural disaster, we still won't criticize God. You know why? Because we're afraid of God. We're afraid. Same way people are afraid of the government in certain areas of the world. So it's really not all that different. And to point to these people like that as some kind of space alien, I think we're missing the point. We're missing the point of how people can be influenced and programmed, taught how to behave, raised in a certain way, and that's everywhere. That's everywhere. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Let's look at a couple of letters here. We have our email address, otw@2600.com. We'd love to hear from you. Dear Off the Wall crew, while surfing dig.com, I found a video of Boston cops blowing up a traffic counter chained to a no parking sign. It seems they believe the device to be a bomb. And the phrase now is, what will Boston do next? Sounds like a new segment to me. Thanks, Charles. How am I supposed to pronounce that? Charles? Is that how you want me to pronounce that name? Okay. Thanks, Charles, for sending that in. In fact, you gave us a tiny URL for that, tinyurl.com/YR8MRJ. And you can see the Boston police blow up a device that apparently was placed there by Boston authorities, some other context. Suspicious package blown up. There's a nice picture circulating, picture of the Moonanites both giving us the finger, and underneath, never forget 13107. That's the date that the Adult Swim scare struck Boston. Another great sign that somebody sent me, which I thought was really awesome. Apparently there's, I don't know where this is, but if you go to a site called chickencrap.com and look at image number 319, you will see a sign that some authority figure put up that says graffiti is a crime. Actually, graffiti, it's a crime. And what do you think somebody did? They wrote graffiti on that sign to make it say graffiti. It's a fun crime. That is the best sign in the world. Using what is being condemned in the sign to make the sign even better. Good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, good evening.
How you doing?
I was interested in the comments that people were making about CNN and Fox.
Uh-huh.
I watch both of them, and I have to say that I have noticed that there's a that CNN is definitely taking a more sort of, you know, liberal approach on reporting that they're doing as opposed to Fox, which Fox has occurred to me, and I find it very entertaining, and I think I watch Fox more for the entertainment value.
A lot of people say that.
Because it's, I think it's the 24-hour news equivalent to professional wrestling. And
that's good. I like that.
It really is. It's taken on that kind of a mood now, with the personalities that are on and the topics that they discuss and the banter that goes on and
Fox News, we're the professional wrestling of news. Yeah, I like that. That works. And yeah, everybody can understand that. So you watch Fox. I really don't watch Fox very much, but can you give us an example of how CNN is more liberal?
I think that some of the, like you mentioned, I can't think of his name now, the fellow with the short crop grayish hair, Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
I noticed that his reporting, he tends to pick out sort of the more sort of dramatic and things that are where sort of bad things have happened, you know, as a result, whether it's the war or whatever it is. He's not trumpeting so much the successes as on Fox, where they try to maybe downplay some of that and they try to sort of trumpet some of the successful things that are going on.
Uh-huh. But either one, I don't think, would have the guts to really stand up to the administration and imply that lives are being wasted, for instance, like we were talking about before. And Anderson Cooper actually was the guy who was profiling the tank last night, too. So they really buy into all this military nonsense.
Well, it's entertainment. They have a show at Future Weapons. Did you ever happen to watch that one? That's on, I think, on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, you see, I tend to shy away from programs that are just about weapons and military, and I notice, disturbingly, Discovery Channel has an abundance of programs like that just basically say the U.S. military is the finest, best, strongest, and always is victorious. And to me, that strikes me as propaganda. You know, and it disturbs me also that a lot of people I know everything there is to know about weaponry and guns and all sorts of things like that, but they know nothing about the geography of the world, for instance. Like, they can't find Iran on a map. That sort of thing disturbs
me. Ironic in a way. And since you mentioned that, here's an interesting fact.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, this is my feeling, that the war in Iraq is a battle in a war that started before Iraq and is going to go on long after.
Okay.
It's a battle in a war. And if you look at a map of the world, you'll see Afghanistan on one side, Iraq on the other side, and Iran right in the middle.
Okay.
And I think that the whole reason that we're in Iraq is that we have a place that we can launch airplanes. It's a strategic. The military isn't based on emotion. It's based on logistics and strategy. And I think that the reason that we set up shop in Iraq, so that we can launch strikes to other targets in the Middle East.
Well, that and also have an undue influence on the oil supply.
They said, okay, where's a good spot to start? Okay,
mm-hmm.
How about Iraq? Who runs Iraq? Saddam. Who likes Saddam? Nobody.
Mm-hmm. Even though we help put him in power.
We set up shop. The people love us.
I mean, this is obviously true, because if it weren't true, we'd be in Africa right now dealing with massacres that are far worse than anything that happened in Iraq, Iran, or anywhere in that region. But we don't care about that because it's not strategic. There's no oil. Launching our airplanes from there wouldn't really just get us to more parts of Africa, which we're still not interested in.
And of course, the whole oil thing, I think, is, we're there for the oil. But you know what? Who wants to live without oil?
I wouldn't mind trying it, to be honest.
You know, I have a bicycle. I have a wood stove. You know, I do my part. But I think that... too much focus is focusing on, oh, we're just there for the oil. But I don't see anybody willing. People are driving around in 8-cylinder Escalades and complaining about we're just there for the oil, you know.
Are those the same people complaining that that's why the war is happening? I think they want this to continue so they can continue to pay low prices for their gas. I mean, we should be paying four times as much as we're paying now, at least, to be on par with the rest of the world.
Well, we're a very spoiled people.
Uh-huh. I mean, I think that would wake people up a little bit, and maybe they wouldn't buy these huge vehicles if they had to pay more.
Well, that's it. And of course, the same people that are opposed to our adventures in the Middle East for oil mm-hmm. are also the same people that don't want to hear about drilling for oil off the coast or drilling for it in Alaska.
Well, there have to be better ways besides pollution and destroying natural environment and having to invade other countries of getting energy. And I know there's other means of doing that. There's wind power, there's solar power, there's all sorts of things that we never seem to actually pursue. We talk about it. One day that'll be nice, but we never actually take the steps to get there. And I think it could be done a lot cheaper and a lot cleaner, but I guess maybe not as profitable.
I was in England this past summer, and the southeast coast of England, off Great Yarmouth.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see, if you look out about 5 miles out, there's windmills as far as you can see from
uh-huh.
one side to the other.
Now, they want to do that here, but everybody's opposed to it because, was it going to be a bad thing on the view of the ocean or something? I can't understand the opposition to windmills.
Well, it is a bit of an eyesore, but I think it's one of those things that you get used to after a while.
I mean, how is that more of an eyesore than seeing a smokestack, which we have plenty of?
Yeah, I think the overhead power lines are unsightly.
Uh-huh.
You know, telephone poles and wires and, you know, overhead, I think
yeah.
they're terribly unsightly.
We get used to that. You know, back in the 20s, when phones were becoming popular, every single phone line had a wire, so you could not see the sky because of all the phone wires that are up there. And we got used to that. We got used to elevated trains going over our heads in the city. You know, there's no telling what we can get used to. But to say something is an eyesore that we don't have any of around here, I don't know. I think that's a bit of a jump.
So anyway, that's about it. That's just one of the comments on that. And I'm enjoying your show.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from East Iceland.
Okay, great. Well, keep listening.
Thank you.
Take care. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. We have a few more minutes. And again, next week we will be pre-recorded and probably the week after that as well. So if you have something to say, now's the time to do it. 631-632-WUSB. Here's a letter from Canada, from Duncan. Hi, Emmanuel. I was just listening to the February 27th show. I thought I'd let you know that schools in Canada also have lockdown drills. Last year, we even had a bomb scare. Someone called the police from the school payphone, and it was a police state for the rest of the year. All these extreme measures do more to scare people than to reassure them. It's incredible what I'm hearing from people in schools with these lockdowns. Somebody told me that that they had a bomb scare, too, and the school went into lockdown. Maybe it's just me, but if there's a bomb in the school, wouldn't you want to leave the school, not stay in the school? You know, that's how we would have thought of it back when I went to high school. You know, get out of there and stay out until the situation is... In fact, we had bomb scares. We had bomb scares because somebody didn't want to take a test and they found in a bomb scare, so we all had to stand outside for a couple of hours while they figured out what was going on. But this lockdown, it's like reverse fire alarm. And what happens if somebody rings the fire alarm while there's a lockdown, huh? Which wins? Lockdown or fire? Burn or get mowed down by terrorists? Gee whiz. Let's see. On one of your recent shows, you asked what 911 operators do for a location when someone calls from a cell phone. I once called 911 from my cell phone while on a road trip. I was in a rural part of Kansas, and some girl on a bike had been hit by a car. I made the call, described what was going on in like 10 seconds, and they nearly hung up on me. When I asked, "Don't you want the location?" Not that I could have described it very well anyway, the 911 operator told me they had already triangulated the signal and dispatched the ambulance. Sure enough, within a minute, an ambulance had shown up. And this was 4 years ago, so apparently even in rural parts of the country, they had the ability to triangulate well enough to determine a street corner back then. I don't know if you had a temporary lapse or what, but I was very surprised to hear Mr. Emmanuel Phone Freak Goldstein being unaware of this rather old technology, signed Noli. Well, I got to tell you, you know, that might be working in Kansas as well as you say, but I had not witnessed it working that well here any time in the last 4 years. I've made calls to the police to report various things, and I've had to tell them what city I'm in. I think it depends on your carrier, on what phone you're using. Sometimes you just get a call center that is not even made up of police. It's made up of some kind of representatives in some national call center, and they don't know the area, so you have to tell them where it is, and they certainly don't use your phone to figure it out. They could. They most likely could. Doesn't mean they always do. Okay, I guess we're pretty much out of time now. I had so many other things I wanted to get to. I didn't get a chance to. Wow, the time goes by really fast. Well, in any event, we'll be on again next week doing something from Austin. And maybe I'll see some of you down there. OTW@2600.com. If you're in the Austin area the next week at the South by Southwest Conference, please drop a line and maybe we can... trade stories or some fun thing like that. No Off the Hook tomorrow. That'll be back again next week. And I should be back in New York by then as well. Until then, please let us know what's going on in your world. Notice the things that are out there, the things they don't want you to notice. And send it to us. Let us know what's going on. OTW@2600.com. It's Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. Have a good night. Thank you.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.